So,
what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Stacy Trisenkos in for Timory while she still enjoys her little bundle of baby girl. It's good to be back with you. It's been a little while since I was on the show, and it's always such an honor to be allowed on the airwaves here at Relevant Radio. Talking today about just wait till I finish saying this before you say, "Oh, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to walk away." Mothers in crisis during the COVID-19 pandemic. I am not going to specifically focus on mothers, though. But so this is something for everyone. This is not just, you know, if you're a dad, you're like, "Oh, well, that's not for me." No, I want to ask a bigger question. Always, that's what we do as Catholics. We ask the bigger questions because we are seeking the fullness of the truth. We've got the fullness of the truth, and we're trying to figure out how to apply church teaching in our daily lives. There's an article in the New York Times. And I like to read the New York Times. I rarely agree with everything that's there, but I think it's a really good way to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in our society, to look for the good and to figure out how we can help with the bad. But this article is about a primal scream, okay? America's mothers are in crisis. Is anyone listening to them? And their response is to have a primal scream about all the stress and the impossible situation they find themselves in. And we're not just going to talk about that article. There is a bigger question being begged. So like I talk about faith and science all the time, right? And one of the biggest things I ever said was, you know, the main thing I say, you can't just look at science. You can't just think science is all there is to truth, like so many people do with scientism in our world today. You have to ask the bigger questions. And that's precisely the problem with the faith and science conflict myth. People don't say, where does our desire to understand science even come from? Where does the order in the world even come from? The bigger question. So with this topic, America's mothers in crisis, I don't think it's ever enough just to try to analyze what's going on in our society. I think you have to put your Catholic lenses on and try to figure out what's going on in God's world. What are we doing that's causing this crisis? And what can we learn from it? And what can we do, that very human thing called innovate? What can we do to make things better? I think it's always a good time to, I love that saying that says history never repeats itself, but it often rhymes with itself. There are things that are happening, and the answer is never to go back and do what was exactly done before, because you can't do that. It's impossible. It's the nature of time and space. Things are moving forward. And it's a better question to ask, how do we move on from here? Why are there America's mothers in crisis? And what can all of us, men and women, do right away? What can we do to help get through not only this crisis, but to help make sure that our society comes out in a better place? Because that's one thing the COVID-19 did. It's one thing global communication does with our ability to communicate across the globe through social media. It shoves us all up in each other's faces. Well, this pandemic shoved us all up into our own face. We had to really take a hard look at how we live our lives and what works and what doesn't. And so my opinion is the New York Times doesn't go big enough. No real surprise there. I don't think they're asking a big enough question, but I am glad they're bringing this up. So you out there, mothers, fathers, anyone, even, you know, whether you have a child or not, just anybody living in this society, which you are, or you wouldn't be listening to the show, right? I would like to hear from you today. I would like to hear your opinion on this, your insights on this, and even your stories. If you're a working mother experiencing a crisis, I would like to hear from you too. But not just you. So the number is 888-914-9149, and we'll be listening throughout the show for you to call in and let us know your opinion. And let me know your stories too. What is it like for you? And I'm going to, of course, share mine. Lucky you. You get to hear. This is kind of like when I'm driving around and my kids are strapped into the car seat and they are forced to listen to me. They sometimes say they hate it, but think ultimately they agree that those were pretty good times. Because I've lived a while and I've learned a few things. And I do think there's a lot we can mine here about this issue. And I think it's a very healthy way to read the news. Keeps you from getting depressed because you feel like you're in charge. You can do something good. So the number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Call in anytime during the show, and I'll come back to that topic in just a minute. I would also, if there's time today, I really have a great time trying to piece together different aspects of stories in ways that make, we call it synthesizing, because I'm a chemist, right? Did you know that? I'm a chemist. And I like to synthesize things, put various things together in new ways and make something new out of it. Well, there was also a story in Financial Times about robots. So in the spirit of talking about how we can progress our society in a virtuous and responsible way, Catholics taking the lead, how can we, this is kind of a faith and science thing, I guess you could say. How do we analyze the situation going on right now with robots? So I'm not just talking about like, oh my goodness, artificial intelligence, we have to all be scared. No, not that. Understanding artificial intelligence for what it is like computerized everything. How do we use the robots in a way that works for us and not has us working for them or doing damage to our economy and our workforce? So if you're so inclined, if you're thinking about the future and how things can be better, I always say to Catholic science students at the university where I teach and when I give talks, don't ever set your faith aside at the door. You need it to guide things. And so if you are listening and you're thinking, I could actually work in this field, I want you to already be starting to think about how you can make things better when it comes to the use of robots in industry. There's a lot of virtue that is needed there to guide the way. How do we not dehumanize? I'm very big on that topic as well, because that is one of the root causes of most of our problems, the dehumanization of humans. People don't even know what it means to be human anymore because they don't realize they have intellect and free will, and they're supposed to use that to make good choices. So put your thinking caps on about that. And if there is time also at the end of the show, I can't even believe I'm talking about this, but I have to say that I was relating to it enough. I felt like that needed to weigh in here. The Target Prairie Dress Challenge. Did you hear about that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I was like, I can't believe I'm even scrolling through this. But there have been some brilliant, funny responses on social media. And I don't even know the last time I shopped at Target, right? Because I don't, we have Walmart in Texas. We don't do Target. And I don't even know the last time I went into a Target. I think I lived in New York when I did, because there was no Walmart there. But I don't know about this product, but apparently there were prairie dresses that went on sale at the end of the year, and I still don't know whether it was a joke or whether it was for real. Like, somebody actually thought this was coming back into fashion, but some hilarious women, and dare I say, I think I even saw a picture of a man who put the dress on to be funny, are posing in this prairie dress and putting like fake posting on social media diaries about what they did that day. The whole spirit of it is, if we're going to have to live like the old days and we're on a prairie, then we may as well act like it on social media. So it's just a funny, I don't really know what the point is. It's just comic relief. Like, it was so funny. But anyway, if there's time, I want to come back and talk about that a little more and share with you who I think the winner is of the prize for the funniest set of posts in the prairie dress. And if you feel inclined, by all means, go get yourself a prairie dress. I imagine they're going to be popping up at more places than Target. And we'll talk about what that even means, prairie dress. I do know something about prairie dresses, having lived down here in Texas and growing up watching Little House on the Prairie. I loved that show. But I actually, there was a time, I remember when prairie dresses were cool. All right. So there, that's what I'm trying to say. I remember when I used to be that woman for real, putting on the ruffledy, flowerty, that's what we say in Texas, the flowerty dresses, and thinking we looked so pretty. And I don't know, we did. My mom and my sisters and I, I only have one. We had matching. Anyway, I'll stop. Okay, you'll just have to, if you want to know all about that, you'll have to wait. Getting back to the working mother crisis thing. See how I tied that all together? Is anyone listening to the working mothers? So this article, and we'll come back to it after a break in a little while. So I'm just going to get it started right now. It's talking about mothers all over the United States. Let's see here. Oh, hold on. We have a call. Yes, Maria, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great. Yeah, I was an engineer for over 30 years in the Los Angeles area, and I have five sisters who were all moms. So I'm the one that was a career woman, but I call myself a professional aunt. So, I mean, I totally believe in, like you said, bringing your faith into the workplace. And my sisters were very lucky to be able to stay home with their kids most of the time when they were young. And one was an architect. Some were school teachers, high school school teachers. But, you know, ultimately, I mean, it was a real hard situation if they had to, like, drop off their babies with grandma and grandpa and then take off to work and then pick them up in the evening. You know, it is a hard load. So it takes all of us helping, whether we have the kids or whether we're part of the extended family or the village, as some people like to say. But the village really has to be loving and caring for all the kids and the parents.
Yes. And Maria, you're the perfect person to call in. Thank you so much for calling. You're exactly the kind of person I think we need to hear from, because you have a multifaceted view of this situation. You had sisters, and you had, you were also an engineer and you were working, and, I think you would have a lot of insight into this. The article's talking about working moms getting really frustrated, and I'd like for you to comment on this, Maria. Working moms getting really frustrated because they suddenly are having to take care of their kids in school, at home. They have a greater domestic workload, a greater childcare burden, and the moms are getting too stressed out, and it's causing problems with the kids getting too stressed out. What do you think about that?
I could totally see it, because I think they were already having to be super moms to begin with. I mean, even before all this COVID situation and working at home or trying to school at home. And everybody is super stressed. So, of course, the people that have the biggest load, and some have, like, elderly parents that they're trying to juggle as well. You know, there's just so much going on. I could totally understand that. People can't handle a load that's beyond them, you know?
Yeah.
So things have to change, because there's just so much pain going on now.
Yes. And I was thinking when I was looking through this article, I was thinking about, I'm a chemist. I always have to say that. I'm a chemist. I love chemistry. But I was thinking about something, if you have a system, or if you have a material, which is a system of atoms, if you have a material and you're thinking about its structural integrity, you have to consider how it's going to be able to handle stress. How tough is it? How strong is it? How hard is it? How elastic is it? And a sign of a poorly designed material is that it can't handle stress. I mean, if they're made to handle stress, it needs to be able to handle stress. And I'm wondering if there's something here that says maybe the structure we have becoming pervasive throughout our society made it so that we have women who were not able to handle the stress. So there's a structural integrity problem in the family, I would say.
Yes, and the system that says you can be a career woman and have it all does not support families. So, I mean, what I thought my company was that they did provide a child care center right there where people could go, drop off the kids, go see them at lunchtime, you know, those kind of things. But they cost money. They were not cheap, you know. And you probably have to have, you know, two careers to even afford daycare for more than two kids. So it's just not encourages people. But my mom was my parents were immigrants from Mexico. My mom was educated, but she was home with us until my baby sister started kindergarten, and then she worked part-time, and she was home with us when we were home. So, I mean, the kinds of things that allow people to be parents is very important. You know, when I first started working, men were not encouraged to be dads. They were encouraged to put in overtime and hardly ever see their kids, and that was in the mid-'80s. So it hasn't gotten really better, but with so many broken families, now there's so many single parents, and that's just made everything worse.
Yes, and I almost think you must have read this. I mean, I don't think you read the article, but I bet you did. You are making the same points that the article made. Maria, thank you so much for your call. I think that was very much a Holy Spirit call there, because it's perfect. What you said is perfect for what we're going to talk about. We're getting ready to go to the break. I want to give you the number one more time, 888-914-9149. We'll continue this discussion when we get back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Stacey Trisenko's here on Trending with Timory. I'm filling in for Timory while she's out still enjoying her baby girl. We were talking before the break about an article in the New York Times. It's not even really one article. It's a series of articles called The Primal Scream, America's Mothers Are in Crisis. Is anyone listening to them? And it's related to the pandemic, of course. I just want to give a few, if you have anything to add to this discussion, I would love to hear from you. That number is 888-914-9149. I want to go through quickly the points in the article, though, because a lot of it we could probably predict, like Marie was before the break. She was touching on a lot of points that are already in the article, but let's just go through it. So about 1 million mothers have left the workforce since the pandemic hit. 1 million mothers have left the workforce. They've left their jobs, not just working at home, but left their jobs. The children are experiencing, because of this, the article says, food insecurity, meaning they lack access to enough food for an active, healthy lifestyle. Working mothers are doing more for childcare and domestic work. They have no space or time to recover. And that our country is back to the late 1980s level of women in the labor force. See, Marie pointed that out. But we're back to the late 1980s levels of women in the workforce. And the author is predicting there will be long-term ramifications, economic disaster related to maternal stress levels, and by extension, stress levels for children, which can cause developmental delays and disorders. And so I want to take a good hard look at this, because the article seems to say, you know, it's a call for women to express their primal scream, to scream and yell and get it all out, which is good. And a lot of the commenters in the article were saying the men also need to scream a little bit too. I think we all do. But what I'm asking us all to do, because we're cool Catholics, is to just put our reason caps on and think about what's really going on here. Cause the only solution really in the article is that there needs to be a government policy to fix this. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be some government attention to helping families in need, but the full answer cannot come from a government policy. We have to find bigger answers. And here's my take on progress. we can look at history and learn from it, but we're never going to exactly repeat history. We need to pick through things that worked and not try to replicate what we're going for. We need to synthesize a new path forward. We need to forge a new path forward. We need to ask really hard questions. I hate to be cliche, but we need to think out of the box and get down to the root cause of the problem. What's really going on here? Because if you don't do that, you're not going to find the right way to solve the problem. I coach people on this all the time. If you're not, you got to spend, and this is part of prudence. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this in his Treatise on the Virtues. If you're not refining the question you're asking, if you don't know what problem you're trying to solve, you're going to waste a whole lot of time solving the wrong thing. So a lot of time and attention needs to be put on solving the problem. So what problem are we trying to solve here with mothers being too stressed out? And my overlay on this is that we had a system with no structural integrity in the first place. Yes, the pandemic has been hard on people, but if things are breaking apart because children are not being cared for, mothers are not being okay, and I'm sure there are just as many men who are not being okay, this is breaking the social fabric of our country. What was not right, and what can we do to make it better? I am not saying, some of you may think I'm about to say moms need to stop working and go home. I'm not saying that at all, because I've worked just about every way you can, in addition to folding a lot of laundry and doing a lot of dishes. But I learned how to think out of the box and solve my own problems. My husband and I solve our own problems. We're not charting anybody else's life forward. We're charting our life forward. And so when you ask about how the work gets divided up and how the finances get dealt with and how the kids get raised, we're working together. And like Maria before the break was saying, you do need people around you who can support that. So let's talk about that, because I'm not saying women shouldn't work. And I'm also not saying if you're a stay-at-home mom, you don't work, because I know because I did that for 15 years and I was homeschooling, and I know you do. But I also started working from home. I also went back and worked for Bishop Strickland for the last 3 years. So I worked for DuPont before I left home to stay with my kids. So I've done just about everything. And I am literally at a point in my life where I'm looking forward with my own 7 children saying, how can I, as their mother, tell them to form a social unit and form a family that will give them the most structural integrity going forward? So I'd like to hear from you. We have a few callers on the line. Kirsty, I would love to hear from you.
Okay, so I was born in the 70s, and I had a stay-at-home mom, and my mom found creative ways to earn money so that we could have the lifestyle that my parents wanted to provide for us. She was a seamstress. She sold Tupperware. She worked part-time at the bank. She did a lot of different things, and so I knew what that looked like. She also babysat. And during the season of babysitting for teachers, she had teachers that would drop off 6-week-old babies for her to babysit. Mm. And I knew I didn't want to be that mom. I never really wanted to be a working mom. And I ended up becoming a working mom so I, too, could give my kids the lifestyle that I pictured for us with the vacations and the boat and all of those things. I really felt like there was something being ripped out of my soul, being divided between my family and my obligations at work, and it was just never right. I finally said, enough is enough. I don't care about the lifestyle and the things. I need to be home with our kids. And literally 2 weeks later, my husband passed away.
Oh, wow.
He was 40, I was 39. And talk about having a reset. You know, I was about to finally be home, which is where I knew I needed to be, and I lost him. So we'll fast forward to now. I met my husband now on Catholic Match. He had 6 children. I had 3. So together we had 9. And then we had 2 more.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, needless to say, life is busy. And I'm having my own struggles in this whole COVID experience, having moved across the country, having no family, no friends, no support system, kids that are going through this. And when I look at this article, and I told your call screener that I didn't even bother to read it, because just on the at first glance, looking at the title and looking at some of the commentary, it felt like another attempt to turn women against men.
Yep.
It felt like another attempt to turn husbands against wives and wives against husbands. And I'm just so tired of seeing that everywhere. You know, Our Lady warned us. She warned us over 100 years ago that Satan is going to try to destroy us through the family. And that was the shuddering feeling that I got when I saw this article. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was going to spread through social media like wildfire, because I remember being a young 20-year-old mom, working, not really wanting to work, and seeing articles online about, oh, the stay-at-home mom versus the working mom. And I'm just so tired of these powerful entities in the media industry trying to pit everybody against each other. And I love what you said. You were talking about coming up with creative solutions and creating that social network. And that's what we all need to focus on. We have to focus on looking forward, not looking back, being positive, being optimistic. And frankly, when I hear you say the article talked about women's employment going back to the numbers in the 80s, to me, that's a reset that I can live with.
Yeah.
I can't live with a Marxist reset, but I can live with a reset for the family where moms have a chance to focus on their priorities and decide, is this lie that they're telling us working? Can we really have it all?
Yeah. Yeah. Kirstie, thank you so much. I mean, you're just knocking it out of the park. And I love what you said about pitting men against women, because that is so exhausting. And I know, I mean, a little bit about my background, I'm a convert, and I pretty much lived the feminist lifestyle. I was a PhD chemist with a big job at DuPont, and had two children, and was not married. And I thought I had it all until I realized I didn't have anything. Like, I was very lonely, and my kids were very lonely because they were shipped around to daycare. And I was just absent all the time. I didn't have anybody to work out my life with. I mean, the fast forward now, those two kids back then are now grown, married, and have their own homes and families, and they're doing fine. But they know where mom stands on this issue now. They know where mom stands. Solve your own problems. And yes, you're so right, Kirstie. Articles like this that pit the men against the women are not solving anybody's problems. You know what I do if I need to have a primal scream? And I do. I do have a very primal scream that sometimes comes out of my mouth. But it's with my husband. He's the one going, honey, if you need to let it out, you just let it out. We'll go walk around the block and I'll take you somewhere where you can scream. And we're working it out together. And if I need him to do more, I have to be a big girl and say, honey, this is what I need. Or I have to ask somebody else, this is what I need. I mean, I remember reading a book on boundaries, and I absorbed it completely, because boundaries to me, I mean, I always thought people were like atoms. They bond or they don't bond. It's not personal, you know, it's, you know, going to do my own thing. And, you know, that's the materialistic life. But I remember reading the book on boundaries. You have to be responsible to say what you let in, say what you keep out, ask for what you need, and i.e. solve your own problems. So I appreciate what you said, Kirstie, about all of that. Please don't, everybody, please take her advice and don't pit people who are supposed to love each other against each other. Ask how you can help. We have another caller. Denise, go ahead.
Hi, yes. You know, my mother was an immigrant to the country, and she was the working mom. And growing up, that's what we were taught, like, mom and dad, you got to work hard and reach those goals. And so growing up, I thought, that's what I need to do. I need to have a career. And now that I've, we grew up cradle Catholic, and then now, a few years ago, I had a reversion back to my faith, and I realized I need to be home. Like, this working from home, working and not being at home with my kids, it's the way that we grew up in society, we were taught to reach those goals. But no, I think the Lord, with what's going on right now, is giving us a chance for moms to come back to the home, because all this feminism is not right. You know, it's like what Kirstie said earlier, it's the evil one destroying the family. And what we need to do now is go back to being stay-at-home moms. And so I have friends that are also stay-at-home moms and some that are working. And so we've discussed that we set up our own little community on how, like, I'm going to be quitting my job within a year so that I could be at home with my little one. And so my other good friend is also a stay-at-home mom, and she's like, oh, well, we're going to start homeschooling our kids. And she's not a good teacher, so she's like, okay, I'll tell you what. When we start homeschooling, I'll take care of the teaching, and you could do what you need to do for your stay-at-home business. And then when I need a break, then she'll go watch the kids. So I think it's just a matter of reaching out, like putting this new perspective on letting the moms raise the kids and being at home and working with your husbands to be a team and getting that community around other.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Denise. Yes. You know, I love what you're saying there. I was thinking while you were talking about the creative things that we do, because, you know, I work for Bishop Strickland at his St. Philip Institute, and we had her on a couple of weeks ago. Our director of family life is a working mom. She's got four children, but we sat down. So when I talk about solve your own problems, I'm talking about everywhere in your life. So at the Institute, because Bishop Strickland says, if it's not working for the families, it's not working for the diocese. And he says, focus on, he encourages us to be creative about those things. And I like being creative about those things. And so we have literally had moms bringing their babies with them for months to work. Deanna did, she was on a couple of weeks ago, and she's brought two babies now to work with her. That we have our director of faith formation is a father of five. He brings his kids to work sometimes. His wife comes up there with the kids. We have a very welcoming environment for kids. I know not all workplaces can do that, but again, we solve our own problems. We also, before COVID ever hit, we had a policy that you can manage where you work. I mean, pretty much our work can be done from a computer like so many people. So if you need to work from home someday for whatever reason, we have that freedom already in place. So when COVID-19 hit, we all just kept going. We just kept doing our thing and bringing it. And another thing, solving our own problems, I just wanted to tell you something. One of my daughters, I was really proud of her. I'm going to brag on my kid, okay? I'm going to brag on my kid. We had homeschooled when we lived in New York, and our kids also attended Colby Academy online school. So they were familiar with the Zoom school before Zoom school was cool, because they were doing it on Adobe Connect in the old days. But when we moved here and then COVID-19 hit, and our kids had gone back to public school, but then suddenly they were back to doing online school. And they're like, great, we left this. Now we're back to doing it again. But my daughter said, you know what, Mom? I bet there's a lot of Catholic parents out there who are suddenly having to do online school with their kids. Everything from like knowing how to log on to things, knowing how to access your assignments, knowing how to turn in your assignments, knowing how to contact the teacher. And my daughter had the idea that she would make herself available as a tutor for moms who are working but had kids at home doing online school. She could come to their house and help the kids with their online school, just sort of a facilitator thing. But she was solving the problem. And, you know, she never actually did it because she found another job she liked doing more. But that was her idea to do it. So that's an example of assess the problem, come up with creative solutions. And if you've got something you like, and you know, test them out. Maybe you don't do everything you think you might do, but come up with some creative solutions. We have another caller. Let's see. Do we have? No, I don't think so. Okay. If you would like to call in and share your stories with us or your insights about this primal scream for the Working Moms article in New York Times, we'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. I'm Stacey Tresenkos filling in for Timmery today, and we will be back after the break to talk about robots and prairie dresses.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Stacey Tresenkos filling in for Timmery today, and it's lovely to be with you. We were talking, and we were just getting a great conversation going about this article in the New York Times about the primal scream. You can look that up. America's Mothers in Crisis. Thank you to everyone that called in. We had a lot of people on the line. We're going to move on, but I want you to know, just keep thinking about this. We're not done with this topic. New York Times isn't done with it, and I don't think we're done with it here either. We're going to have another show to talk about this a little deeper. So I appreciate it if you could be noodling on that and thinking about, you know, what is the problem we need to solve in the country when a pandemic stresses out the mothers to the point of wanting to have a primal scream? What can we do there? And even if you don't ever call in or anything, you know, I'm not saying everybody's going to call in, but think about it in your own lives, okay? The other topic is about, I said we were going to talk about robots and prairie dresses. Which one do you want first? I pick robots. There's an article in Financial Times. So this is another exercise in paying attention to what's going on in our culture and asking yourself how to solve the problems of our times. Catholics need to be leading the way because we understand what it means to be human, to have intellect and free will, to practice virtue, all that good stuff. This article is about robots. Why I was wrong, the author says, to be optimistic about robots. She used to be a techno-optimist. That is a thing. Very much in favor of the automation of things that people do that can be automated to make the job easier or to make it so that you need to hire fewer people. So think about that. Anytime you have a system, we do this in chemistry all the time. It's called Le Chatelier's principle. If you change the reactant or the product, you stress the equilibrium of the system, and the system's like, whoa, what happened? I got to make more of this or make less of that to bring things back to equilibrium. It happens in your body all the time. When you get sick, your equilibrium's usually off and your body's trying to restore that homeostasis. Well, in the wasn't that cool? Out in the economy, this emergence of robots has us all thinking about how we can use them. It is a disturbance in the economic system. Okay, so that is the problem that we're trying to solve. And the author in Financial Times has some really good data. I love the numbers stuff. The surge in demand for online shopping caused by the old pandemic has accelerated warehouse automation. Okay, I know you shop at places like Amazon, and like I buy all my clothes. I wear only black, makes it real easy for me to go shopping, and I only have two places I buy clothes, and I know exactly what size I wear. And I go there, I pick my size, I pick black, and I just shop, and it's very quick for me because I don't complicate things. But I order online because I don't want to go to the mall. I don't want to have to try on clothes. I don't want to have to think about all that stuff. I just want clothes. But the surge in demand for online shopping, having things just show up at our doorstep, has created this issue where they have to get things out of the warehouse more. Okay. Did you, I mean, I don't think about that usually, but it does. So there are these warehouses sitting around with all kinds of stuff. Think Amazon, all kinds of things sitting on the shelves, and somebody has to get those things off the shelves and ship them to you. And so the research group predicts the global warehouse automation market will increase from $15 billion in 2019 to $30 billion, twice that, by 2026, which ain't that far away. Robots are replacing the picker job, you know, the people that run. So there are problems with people like blisters on the feet needing Vaseline because they're running around the warehouses all day trying to get the products off the shelf and put them in the mail. And so there's automation that can be done there. And these are big dollar things, big dollar systems that go into the market here. Chuck, C-H-U-C-K, is an autonomous robot trolley which leads a human picker. So the human's on there picking through the warehouse from one shelf to the next. But Chuck sets a relentless pace and keeps that worker moving around. So the worker is not running all around as much. He's kind of being driven around by the robot, and they program into the robot where all the things are on the shelf. So the robot is like figuring out where to go. It does kind of sound fun to ride Chuck all day and pick stuff off the shelves. But who were looking at this problem at Berkeley were saying you still need a human picking the things off the shelves. Why? Because you have different things that you have to carry. Right? Like if you need to pick up a jackhammer, a galvanized steel garbage can, a saw blade, and a 5-gallon bucket of paint, you need a human because a robot can't figure out how to carry all those things in the moment. So you need a human who can innovate in that moment and figure out how to carry things. So they keep the humans in the system, but the robot drives the human around. Amazon uses a robotic called Kiva, K-I-V-A, $775 million in 2012 for this system. And it doesn't bring the picker to the shelves. It brings the shelves to the picker. So if you work at Amazon warehouse and you have the Kiva system, you stand stationary all day while the robot brings the stuff to you and you pick it off the shelf. Oh, hey, I'll take that. Oh, hey, I'll take that. And then you figure out how to box it up and move it on from there. The problem with this, so remember what I said about the chemistry lesson and the imbalance to the equilibrium? The thing about this is now people aren't getting blisters from walking around all day. They're getting sore and back problems from standing all day. So it's creating other problems that have to be dealt with. And I do believe these problems are going to be, I've been paying attention to the technical market for a long time. I love how people innovate and solve problems. And what's happening right now is that, especially with the pandemic and more online shopping, people are having to figure out how they're going to deal with these new problems that the innovation is bringing. But hey, that's what it means to be human. The article ends with saying dehumanization and intensification of work is not inevitable. That we are going to have to deal with these problems. A different outcome will require different choices and a different distribution of power in the workplace. I think she needs to talk to the author of the New York Times article. It will require different choices, different distribution of how we do things. So, I just want you to know that goes on throughout our life. And hey, if you are thinking about studying science or engineering or technology and you're going to go in the workplace and you don't really understand what your faith has to do with it, that solving problems in a virtuous way that actually put the emphasis on human dignity and make a difference in people's lives. That's what I'm talking about. You have to let faith guide everything, even science, even technology, even how we use robots. Because we want the robots to work for us, not the other way around, right? So I think we can figure out how to get my black clothing to the door even faster. Not that I buy a lot, but when I do. The last thing, we are going to wrap up here with prairie dresses. I told you, robots and prairie dresses. You might have thought the robots were wearing the prairie dresses. No, the working moms with the primal screams are wearing the prairie dresses. Not exactly. So Target has this dress. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I don't go to Target, But yeah, if they had a solid black prairie dress, I guess I would go pose in that. But if anybody wants to make me a solid black prairie dress, you can send it to me and I'll pose in it. But women decided to put on this ugly dress. It's got ruffles like on the shoulder, ruffles in various places on the dress. And they're posing like they're on the prairie. They're posing like it's the old days, like it's Little House on the Prairie. And they're posting fake stories about how they tended the chickens and how they made the lard soap and how they did different things. And it is hilarious. It is one of the funniest things I've seen on social media. And one of the posters that I think wins this, her name, she is an author. She's actually a homeschooling mom who got creative. And I've never heard of her before, but she's gotten very popular with this prairie dress idea. Her name is Megan McGovern, M-E-A-G-A-N. So spell her name right. M-E-A-G-A-N McGovern. M-C-G-O-V-E-R-N. And if you do get on Facebook, look her up because she had some hilarious pictures. Totally. What was funny to me is I thought it was for real at first. I'm like, why is this lady with her hair braided on both sides? Why is she posing and talking about her chickens? But a lot of other people are doing this too. So the hashtag, yeah, do so at your own peril, because I even saw a man wearing the prairie dress and he was trying to be funny, but I just kept scrolling. But it is funny. And I think it's a great use. Like, humor has a place for sure. And that's one of the things I love about the internet, is that it does join us all together. And we can find things like this and laugh and say, now that's funny. There's somebody we are taking the whole pandemic and everything very, very, very seriously, of course. But here's somebody who's found a way to laugh in the midst of all of this. So it's got a hashtag now. It's hashtag Prairie Dress Challenge. And if you do it, make sure, I'm on Facebook, Stacy Trisankos on Facebook. I don't know how to use Twitter very well because it seems like everybody's yelling at me on Twitter. And it's kind of crazy. I'm old school. I just do Facebook. But if you can find me on Facebook, and if you do the Target Prairie Dress Challenge, hashtag Prairie Dress Challenge, let me know. I would love to see that. And check out Megan McGovern. She is she's an author. She's on Facebook, and she was saying that it's kind of funny because she said it's kind of funny because her post about the prairie dress was shared 42,314 times, and she got 13,000 new followers. And she was talking about how amazed she was that happened. Well, I know why, Megan. It's because you were genuinely funny. Posing with her pitchfork and an apron. She had one picture of herself, or somebody, I think other people added to her pictures, the Bernie Sanders with his mittens in the background. So that was really funny. If you look her up, Megan McGovern, check out her, you have to scroll down a little bit now to find her pictures about the prairie dress. And if you go, I don't know if they do it on Twitter, but check it out at least on Facebook and on Instagram. And I saw some posts on TikTok just when I searched it, but I don't do TikTok, so I didn't really look at anything there. But see what you can find. Now, no cheating, because I did notice that some women, they didn't really look like they were doing the prairie dress challenge. How do I say this? They looked way too pretty and made up to be seriously doing the prairie dress challenge. So if you do it, keep it real. So I'm Stacy Trisankos. We're getting ready for to pray the rosary. And just wrapping up here again, circling back around. I know I said that. Circling back around. So that's a joke. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Circling back around to the America Mothers in Crisis. And I encouraged everyone. We had a lot of callers, and some callers we didn't get to. I'm sorry about that. But I don't think this conversation is over. I very much would like for you to continue this conversation at your dinner tables, with your friends and family, asking the people around you. And hey, if you have neighbors and you think maybe those moms are getting stressed out during the pandemic and there's something you could do to help with the kids, like I'm so proud of my daughter who had the idea to help, help with online school. If there's something you can do, that is really what's at the bottom of all of this. It's helping each other in our communities, because being human doesn't mean that we are just by ourselves, little islands. It means in this big system, if something is disequilibrated, if something is disturbed, then we all have to move in and help restore the equilibrium. So going forward in our times, figure out how to do that. So I hope you keep listening. I will see you back on Trending. I'll be here on Thursday. And it was lovely spending this hour with you, and I hope to see you again. I'm Stacy Trisankos, chemist who wears black, not a prairie dress. And I will see you on Thursday. Thank you.